Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Pretty Over Perfect. I am Jessica, and it's just me today. Missing Michelle, but instead, I brought on my grandma to interview today. My grandma Susan is somebody who embodies refinement and grit, determination, and grace. And instead of bringing her on for a whole slew of subjects that she is an expert on, I asked her to look back over the course of her life and draw out a few lessons she feels like were pivotal for her and would be helpful for us. So, without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with my grandma, Susan. Hi, Grandma. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Jessica.
I am so grateful that you would rearrange your day and deal with all of the preparations and whatnot. It's kind of scary to record on a podcast, and I'm grateful that you would go through this because I know all of us will benefit from your perspective because you're wonderful.
Going to be fun. Okay. Going to be fun. Thanks.
That's our theme, right? Let's be real. That's right. It's not the funnest thing you're going to do today, but it's going to be impactful forever. Okay. So, Grandma, there's so many things that I have wanted to bring you on to the podcast to talk about because I really do view you as an expert in so many areas, and you're just going to have to sit here and listen to me gush about you for a second, okay?
Okay, that'll be fun, too.
It will. I really do feel like you are the definition of refinement. Physically, you always put yourself together. You know, not all the way, maybe every day, but you put effort into yourself. And as a teenager, I used to love to look through your makeup drawer and try on your makeup. And you knew about this, whether you remember it or not.
I'm not sure I ever knew that you were doing that.
You did. I'd be like, where's your, can I use your whatever? Yeah, sure. That's just who you are, though. You open up your home and everything you have to anyone that.
Absolutely. You know, especially to you, Jessica. Especially to you.
Thank you. So sorry if I didn't have permission, but I did look through your makeup and as a teenager admired it. You are a fantastic interior decorator. You are a lifelong learner, always expanding your views and knowledge. But the most important piece to you, I feel like, is your dedication to God and service to other people. And you make, like I alluded to earlier, you make people feel important no matter what's going on. So instead of like bringing you on for parenting or interior design or whatever, I want to just kind of go back through your life, maybe five different times in your life, and pull out a lesson as you have retrospect at this point that we can maybe all benefit from. So, Grandma, can we start with your growing up years?
Absolutely. First of all, I want to thank you for all the wonderful things you said about me. And you and I are such good friends and love each other so much. So this is going to be a very good time. Actually, I thought it was interesting that you would ask me to look back and see what would help you today or others. And so I've done that. The first thing I want to kind of put out there is to create and build an environment of love in your life, an environment of acceptance and adventure. I think clear morals are actually part of this and discipline. And I think we do it for ourselves and for those around us. I'll go back to when I was born. It was March 2nd, 1939, and it was World War II time that had started in September after I was born. But I think it was really amazing that my parents did not make my environment one of war or the war environment. So what they were doing is just being themselves. They were quite young. We had just moved there to California from Utah and starting out their lives with not a thing. But honestly, a thing that was really good was my environment was always secure. And we lived in a cute little house with two bedrooms, and my brother and I slept in the same room. We were great pals. And in the front was this huge expanse of grass that we played on. I think the most important thing that happened in that time that I would like to bring forth is just the way they treated me and the environment they made for my brother and I. Mm-hmm. It was My dad was full of fun, and my mother loved flower gardening and more than cleaning the house. She was a great cook. But the sense of freedom and play and exploration and fun and humor, education, imagination, along with a lot of discipline, of course, and overflowing love. So, Jessica, I know that you do many of these things in your home and try to make an environment for your children that they can actually build a foundation for life.
I love your perspective there, because it's fun, because I've obviously seen you on the other end of your life and how you've, I didn't watch you raise my mother, obviously, but the fruits of that kind of parenting have continued to enhance my own life and my own children. And I appreciate you passing those good things along. And if any, for anyone who is listening who maybe didn't have that experience growing up or doesn't really know how to create that kind of environment for their own family, I like that you're highlighting that love is the key. Love is the key to security. Even if, like you were saying, there was war going on, they didn't have a lot of money. It sounds like maybe the house wasn't necessarily always clean, but you felt love.
Absolutely felt love. And I think in our conversation, it's good that we all think about maybe bringing that kind of environment and be able to nurture and build those in our home, like even our husband, ourselves, of course, our children. But I think we also can do that in our neighborhood, in our communities. And I really think a good place to start, where possibly I'm trained to say that's where I was started there in that home, was peace for yourself. So it's kind of like a no war zone. That's what I thought. And a zone where you, I think that we really kind of need, in this day, with the crazy things that are going on, we need to limit our conversations. So watch what we say. Not bring too many political harshness, too much political harshness in. And less social screens and less adult talk about the confusion around us. I think that will help with peace for children. I think one of the things I always try to do is not have terribly serious adult conversations amongst adults for in front of children. What do you think about that, Jess?
I think that that's so important. And I've noticed myself and Nate sometimes going on the other side of that line lately, as there have been some pretty intense things going on in our world, and have noticed, like, it's really actually quite hard to not go there in front of the kids. But I try really hard to abide by that whenever I can. And if I have slipped, like I have a lot this summer, and kind of let heavy things fall in front of their ears, I try to go back and and kind of talk through it with them, like, you know, kind of reestablish security, because we're not perfect, and sometimes there's fear, and sometimes there's other things going on. But yeah, I think that's a really important thing to strive for, to help them know that their environment is safe. There's age-appropriate ways to talk about things that are important, but
education is good, and I think education about society and our world is absolutely important. But I think it's a good place to be a little more careful. I have really smart children who knew everything I was saying.
Right?
They're so smart. Actually, tell me back just what I said. So they are listening, and many of them are clued right into what you're doing.
So you feel like your parents did that, Grandma?
They didn't talk about the war and all the tragedy in front of us. No, they didn't bring it into our home. And I think that's what I'm saying, is it gave us time to play outside, play under the avocado tree, make mud pies, just all the fun things that we did there. My dad built us a playhouse. He built a swing set. He was involved with us. And my mom was always right there to, you know, help me get out of the tree I'd climbed that was way too high. It's things like that. But as far as world politics, that was not part of my growing up, but education was.
Cool. I love that.
I think the reason I'm bringing this forward is because it just started a good foundation for me. And I think it really made a difference in who I am even today, 84 years, you know, past that. So there's a continued goodness that I feel because of that, and it gave me a secure path to continue growing right through everything, all my years. So I do offer that as one of the things that you asked me to bring forward.
Yeah.
No, a long time ago.
That's so great. Thank you for going there. Let's go now to maybe your young adult years. I don't know, high school, maybe a little bit beyond college, that time of life.
Okay. This foundation that I gained with my mom and dad in that little home really came in handy because as a teen, my brother and I were 14 months apart. We were great friends, continually playing in the neighborhood. But one day we got a phone call, and it was my brother had been killed by a drunk driver. And this changed our lives completely. And I learned many things. Actually, I think one of the things that I as I look back, I learned that basically in each of us is a core of love and service. And what happened in our home is that I started taking care of my mom and dad. Mm. After everything settled down, I kind of tucked them in bed, and with kind of a good work attitude and a happy attitude, I started, you know, working in the home, making dinner, cleaning, and helping all those that came in. I think that ability to see that in myself and just be positive about it made a big difference in our home and in my life.
Grandma, where did that positivity come from? Do you feel like that's something that's always been innate, or did you just see the need? I mean, you're a high school girl, and your best friend just was killed, yet you had the ability to take care of others. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying about the environment my parents made for me. I think this is where it came from. I think it's, I kind of feel like we all have that innate in us. I think we just need to, even if we look today inside of us, I think we're going to find that. And I think you'd agree with me as we, you know, exercise some of the things that we have within us, they just become bigger.
That's good.
They build. The foundation my parents gave me, and then these experiences that are startling and life-changing and so tragic, you find that strength and build on it. And actually, that's really kind of the answer.
Yeah, that's profound and very, very empowering. Right? Because we can look for it within ourselves, all of us, no matter where we came from, we can look for it and build upon it. I love that. That's a great piece. And
Yeah, Jessica, and it doesn't have to start back when you were a baby or a toddler or, you know, a child. It can start right now. You can find that now.
Yeah,
I think it's good because one other thing that I did learn and I want to, as you say, bring forward, Grandma, is that when you serve others like that, it really heals you. So some of that was happening there with me losing my sweet brother, is that as I served others, I felt a lot of healing in myself.
That's beautiful, Grandma. And even, I might have shared this on the podcast already, but something that you taught me and that I am now teaching my kids is that when life gives you an empty lot, build a service station. When you feel sad, when you're grumpy, when you're lonely, go serve somebody and you build something from that empty, that lack.
You do.
And you gain confidence and happiness. So I appreciate that lesson. And that's really cool to me. I don't think I ever connected that that's where you really started to step into that side of you that is so endearing, that everybody loves about you, that you're so selfless and you bring anybody in and you're so good at serving. And that's pretty sweet to hear where that really became.
Oh, well, thank you, Jessica. And I think also, as we think about it, it really is a place that will help us be better people and just be happier and full of light for people and ourselves. I think that's good.
Less thank news, you. More serving.
Wow.
But it's kind of like relevant that way. There's so much we can get so concerned about and so fearful from. But instead, we can look around and build others up and we will find a lot more peace and security that way. So that's great.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go next?
I want to add one thing to that.
Okay.
less news, more. Yeah. Could you say also agree with, we need self-strength?
What do you mean by that?
Have strength in ourselves, yeah. Build ourselves.
Yeah.
Not just always serving others, but serve ourselves
like
also.
That. Absolutely.
Is that good?
That's very,
yeah.
Very
and I, yeah, I think that's very good. Yeah. So I was thinking today that I should explain this one time in my life.
Okay.
Because it's certainly part of me and what I would want to bring forward. And that is, we were on a trip, my mom and dad and my brother and I, and we went to Utah to visit my dad's aunt. And she lived on a huge ranch outside of Cedar City. They had a cattle ranch. And we'd get in their truck and bounce across all of this terrain that was full of brush and rabbits and to see the cattle. Mm-hmm. One day they were all off together and I was there on the ranch by the ranch house by myself, and it was beautiful. And as we do at that age, I was laying down to do a little sunbathing, a little, you know, sun worshiping, maybe you might say.
I know all about that.
I hate to admit this and probably don't tell the rest of the family, but I did have shorts on.
They're listening.
And was getting a lot of sun. And all of a sudden, it was cool because in this big ranch, there was nothing in my view as I laid on the grass and looked up. And for some reason, I just felt the creation around me of God. Mm-hmm. And I felt his influence in creation. Mm-hmm. And for my very self, because I'd been taught a lot about God, but at this point, it kind of became very personal. And the sun was, you know, really warming my skin, and it was a beautiful spot. And I just, I don't know, felt like this, he was a true God and a true creator. Mm. And it really was important to have that in the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's lots of things to celebrate in life, and there's lots of things to face and go through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that experience helped you navigate both.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
And yeah, it continued to help me, actually, and even today, yeah, really.
Yeah.
So we could go to when we were, my sweet husband, Jim, and I were newlyweds. We were just the happiest of people. We had a cute home to live in. And we were on BYU campus. It was my last class that I wanted to tell you about. We went, my last class was an observation laboratory at the preschool.
Oh.
And it was so exciting and interesting. I loved it. And Jim would kind of pick me up to take me home to our cute little house. And sometimes he'd sit behind the observation glass and we'd watch the kids, and the way that they conducted the classroom, the nursery, the preschool, actually, was fascinating. And I don't think we had seen that in our families or in our environment, really. And later we had this really good conversation because we hadn't really talked about, well, how are we going to do kids?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We, of course, wanted about 12, but that's not what we did. But we sat down and talked about this together, kind of out in the car in the parking lot from the school. And was it going to be the way he was raised? Not really. Was it going to be the way I was raised? Partially. But then we decided that actually we were going to try to incorporate a lot of the things that we saw in the preschool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we wanted to actually assimilate that into our family. One of the things it was they led with positive conversation and discipline. And they encouraged the children to be positive in their responses. So that was one of our big deals that we found right at BYU in the lab. So I call that smart science because it was meaningful.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll just go right to one of the things with my kids.
Yeah, let's hear it.
You have it's pretty hard to be a new mom. And I have this baby, and as he's growing up, he's doing something that's really starting to irritate me. And finally, one day, I am just like, this is the last time I can deal with this. And I got in my car and I drove down to Redondo Beach. That's where we lived. It's by the beach. And I had right on the seat my book from probably that lab. It was called Child Development by Arnold Gazelle. And I still remember that book. And I had it right by me. And when I got to the park by the beach, I just parked and opened the book, leafing through there, and finally found the chart I was looking for. And guess what? Right there was what my baby was doing. He was sitting in his high chair and he was picking up food and throwing it on the floor. And in the book, it said, here's the developmental stage for this age. And it was learning to develop muscles of throwing, picking up and throwing. And I call that smart science. And I think that's really a good thing to do in child raising. So we had these two things that we were going to do, is always know where our kids were in developmental terms. Mm-hmm. And also to meet them with positivity when they were making mistakes.
So I want you to go into the smart science concept again, or a little deeper. So did you create that kind of create that name based on what you were observing in your BYU class? Is this
actually
your
term? I think I did it more, in the trenches, with my children. It was kind of something that I'm not going to be just, of course you always do. You make mistakes. You know, I'm not going to fly off and be kind of a crazy parent. I want to really be more tied to what's going on in their maturation in life.
Okay. So understanding, looking deeper, doing research to help you understand where they're at and why they're mm-hmm. doing what they're doing, maybe.
Yeah, I was a human development and family relations minor in BYU, so I really had a background, but to take that and apply it in an actual setting with children, it's quite different, that for sure.
Yeah.
And I know that, Jessica, you actually do a beautiful job. I even send some of the people that ask me, hey, please tell me how you did this. You've got such beautiful children, and I do. But I will say, if you want some help with discipline, go and talk to Jessica.
Oh, wow. That's.
And I know that you have people, you have some books you refer to. Mm-hmm. You might share those because mm-hmm. I know they're helpful to you.
Yeah. I like Simplicity Parenting. I've of course, mm-hmm. gotten a lot of information from Ralphie Jacobs. And the reason mm-hmm. why I knew I liked her is because she mimicked exactly, almost to a T, what you did in your parenting. That's just something that, and my mom as well, so I liked her a lot. There's a book called Christ-like Parenting that I like, and Grumpy Mom Takes a Holiday.
Okay, I'm going to throw in another name on that list. It's called her name is Jeanette Jacob Erickson, and she's a BYU developmentalist. And I love some of her perspectives, and she bases it a lot on research, and she brings forth a lot of beautiful things with children. And also, if you're interested in relationships between husbands and wife, I think you would love her. And this all came out of starting to talk about being newlyweds. And I want to also mention that it's just such a trip to be married for and so wonderful to work things through, pull a little science, a lot of prayer, and much of God. So
okay, Grandma, so you talked a little bit about you and my grandpa Jim and when you were first married, and a little bit about your parenting together. And I love how you guys, it wasn't your background or his background, it was a together sort of thing. And now I would like you to speak a little bit to the marriage part itself. Is there something that you did that you felt like was helpful in marriage? Because if you are married out there, you know that it does take work, and we're always looking for, I'm always looking for Any new ideas or helpful tips or encouragement? Is there anything that you can think about that was helpful for you in your marriage?
Oh, yeah. So many things crossed my mind. And I'll just go there again. One of them is just pulling that love that's so deep in you out and sharing it, you know, very freely. Don't hold back. And
hold on, I'm stopping you there.
Person.
Okay. What? I was going to say, how do you draw it out?
Oh, that is a really good question, Jessica. And of course, you know my answer, and soon everyone will. And that is, I actually pray for that to come out and pray for. I do feel that love and service, some of these very good things are part of who we are inside in the spirit that we have. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's really my secret, not a secret anymore. Yeah, you can do that. You can pray for God, actually, the one that I talked about creating this earth. He can create things in you.
Beautiful.
But there's a lot of practical things that you do, you know. You listen. I think listening is a really good tool. And I think we always, Jim and I always, your grandpa and I always work together. It was like hit the ground running when you go to dental school together, have babies quickly. And by the time we graduated, I was pregnant with my third child. And there's a lot going on in there in that time. And it's like we were good partners in working and we loved working together and we loved the work we were doing. We loved school and we loved the fun we had in California, in Southern California.
Yeah, now you're making it seem like you never had any problems. Did you have any problems ever?
Never okay. a problem.
Perfect. Okay. Well, I guess I'm the one doing things wrong over here. Just kidding.
Not sure you want to hear that list. I'm like,
no, I want to know what you did when there was a problem, because I think we can all agree that that's inevitable when you're in a relationship with anybody, that there's differences.
I really got mad, actually. I'm pretty good at getting kind of mad.
Thanks for being real. We appreciate it.
In fact, I'll tell you a funny story is that when you and Nate lived downstairs in my house, my present home, one time I was single, but I was at the bar, and I was not the bar, but the counter, and I was actually screaming. I was like, "This is not right!" And up comes Nate, and he's like, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" But I was always in our relationship. I could get a little vocal and a little defensive and all those things that you don't want to incorporate in your relationship. But sometimes it's just real. It's just real. And then you learn to apologize. That's one thing I think we learned to do, that come back, work things through. Honestly, find more smart science. I was good at that. Does that make sense to you?
Well, I think I have to interpret it as seeing deeply, looking deeper, looking at the big picture instead of just the action. Is that what you mean by smart science?
Well, there is a science of relationships. And since I was a human development family relationship minor at BYU, I really knew what that was and where to go. These two people, they get together, and there's a lot to learn and go through and progress to make. I feel sometimes we did well, we made progress, and sometimes we didn't, but we didn't give up through many, many trials.
Yeah. Beautiful. So keep focusing on...
It just really is very impactful to think about it.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So, Grandma, let's go now to maybe a little bit later when you have you have adult children, you have many grandchildren. What are you learning right now? What have you learned the last few years about that phase of life?
Well, this is a very interesting phase of life that I never really counted on. You know, growing up in a fun family, doing fun things together and being social with friends and neighbors, and then having a family with six children, it was always together, cooking together and playing and going on trips. And now I find myself very solitary, and it's just a whole new game. So some of the same things that we already talked about, I think service is a big one. And I think I've actually pulled in Jesus Christ into my life more than I ever have. And fortunately, it was a solid thing that I could do and have fun. You know, I have a lot of friends. We go to lunch and I study together. And good question. I'm still thinking that through.
Fair enough.
Accept where you are. There you go. Accept
where you
are. Accept his position. Isn't that important that we accept, like, right where we are? And another little rule I always have had and have tried to have in the last 2 years is celebrate life and celebrate the good. I mean, there's so much to celebrate, and sometimes we get, you know, off that track.
Yeah, okay, so let's talk about that. There's always going to be something that's not ideal in our current situation, and we want to try to enjoy the good and celebrate the good. What's your advice to that situation, whatever phase of life you're in? How do you celebrate?
I think one of the things I've already mentioned is to pull away from what's, you know, coming into you from outside, like coming into you through the media, through some conversations that are, you know, negative in your life. Just try to, you know, recognize that and it validated, but also find a way to go back to the beauty of the world, the happiness that people bring you, the goodness that's inside of you. I think you can really do that. Everybody can do that. It's not always easy, like you say.
Okay. Grandma, how do you celebrate the beauty of the world?
You're sure pinning me down here, Jessica.
I like practical. I'm going to boil it down.
And now I want to know this. Okay.
Well, I can tell you what I've observed. Okay, how's that? I'll tell you what I've observed.
Oh, thank you. That would be so good.
Yeah.
I'd like to know that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Right.
So something that I admire about you is that you are always beautifying wherever you are and however you can. Like, you've had phases where you've had your hands hurting and you can't do all of the things that you used to be able to do, but you still do something. You have always had a beautiful yard. And I, like, as you mentioned, Nate and I lived with you for a year, I think, as Ollie was born. And you were always out in the early mornings, you know, pruning, planting, just taking care of what you had outside. And I think that works or translates to inside as well. You are, like I mentioned in the beginning, are always freshening up your space, moving things around. I mean, truly, every time I go to your home, things are different. It used to be that I was visiting really frequently. I don't think I mentioned this, but I grew up 3 houses down from you from the time I was 14. And so through
that
my teenage years.
So great. It was so fun.
It honestly was, yes. I would go over to your home every Sunday, and I will never forget that. Just feeling like everything in the world was okay. Yeah, well, of course, absolutely in between. But that was kind of a staple time. I would walk over, and I would hang out with you and Grandpa. But it was always fun for me to see how you were kind of mixing things up inside. So there was pride. You took pride in your spaces, and you, I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, but doing that helped you appreciate the beauty outside, and you brought beauty inside to surround yourself with beauty. True? Yeah. False?
I think so. And actually order. I like order also. And I know that's hard. I was remembering when I had 3 little children, my first little group was such adorable people, including your mother, but my house was like crazy. And so eventually I learned to order was very important to me. And so I think that's a nice goal to have in your life. But
okay.
I do love beautiful things.
Let's stick with order for a second because I am there. I'm like, I cannot function anymore without a little bit more order. You know, like we got to be realistic. We got to have grace for ourselves. We can't expect perfection. Yeah, I get it. But also, like, I'm a slave to everything unless I have a little bit more order in line. So what's your advice to me where I know it's not going to be completely perfect, But what do you do when you've got so many things moving? How do you create order?
Well, I think that I would probably take more advice from you on this one, because I think that you, I know that you try to downsize and make things more beautiful. And if something's not supposed to be there, you get rid of it. And I think that's part of it. Don't we all know that? Don't we all know that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think also, I think prioritizing is good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that doing that particular activity of just always having something beautiful and always something organized, I think you have to give it away a little bit, because there are more important things, like being a good mom or sitting down and doing a craft like you do, or baking, or just sitting by a child or your husband
reading
when they need it. I mean, I think that's, you got to be careful not to get carried away.
Yeah.
But having less things around, I think it's very helpful.
Yeah. With every child, I guess I have to become more minimal, which is a process. Okay. So we talked about beauty. What about service? How do you prioritize service right now?
Oh, I just think service is such an integral part of everything. Even I really do want to mention again that there's service to ourselves. And I think, you know, we really ought to be right on that. And I sometimes take a minute to think about that. And it's hard, because you don't want to, you know, self-consumed and self-centered, et cetera. But you do need to be, you know, on top of taking care of yourself and being strong and healthy. So I think that's a good place to start, is to serve yourself. But I think, I don't know, I just feel like serving others just pops up, comes up. You know, you don't know when it's happening. And sometimes you are very, you plan it, you're very cognizant of it. And you say, I think I need to go and take care of that person or this person, or just give a call. So I think maybe you'll laugh at this, because I used to like make little notes on my hand, like, you know, write a little word like serve and put it on my, in little pen on my hand, and just, hey, wake up call, do that. So I think
that's,
there's ways to remember that, but I think the way in which you serve is of course, let's just pair it with selfless. Okay,
that's good. You are in a situation right now, Grandma, where you have done a fantastic job at, like I said at the very beginning, staying safe for all of your children and grandchildren. And I know that when I'm like, what in the world am I going to do? You're the one that I call. And maybe not as much in between, which I need to be better at. But how do you handle... I know I'm not the only one that does this. So how do you handle problems that arise that are kind of thrown at you in a sense here and there, or maybe a lot more than that with how much everybody loves you and comes to you? How do you deal with that?
Well, it's probably less than it used to be. And I think that it's always welcome, and it's always, I don't know. I don't think it so much as handling a problem as just communicating with people I love and having a thought. And you know, it's cute, because your mom is always the one that would say, if I would give, you know, a little response, and she'd say, remember, I have the privilege of taking that or not taking that. So that's kind of what we have with all the grandkids and everyone. You know, just share what you feel. But if somebody feels like that's not for them, that's great. You know, you just have to be kind of a grown up in that, right? I have a rule with my married children, is that you can, you know, I'll try to be quiet. I'm in their homes quite a bit. And so I'll share this with anyone that has that situation, or anyone really. Ask me for advice when you want it, and I will answer you with a short answer. So that's kind of a little rule I have.
Okay. So, but then you're not just burdening everyone with your opinion.
You know, you can hear, in fact, I'm sure the podcast hears me going on and on here. But I can actually talk and communicate a lot. So I have to really be mindful of that.
You are very mindful. You really are. Well, Grandma, what else do you want to leave right here? Anything from, if you look over the course of your life and just speak to me even, what advice do you have?
Well, I would really, the very basic advice that I would give, I've already given several times, and that is look inside yourself and know that there's a spirit child of God there and has all these talents and abilities and qualities and characteristics, and just, you know, take time to be with that and understand it more, and then be that person. I mean, I just think, I mean, when I'm with you, I just feel lifted, and I feel like you do that. You look for what's inside of you, or what sometimes what we want to be, and you make it happen. And I think that's what we should be doing. And we get, you know, overpowered by many things in our society or our lives, or people, other people, even husbands or children expect a lot from us, but really do feel like that's pretty cool, is to take a minute and, or a time away if you need to, or get in the car and drive to Redondo Beach and get a book out, you know?
Huh. I'll be right there.
take
some breaks.
I love it. But I'm just saying that be true to yourself and who you are.
That's beautiful. What are you most proud of? As you look back?
What am I most proud of? My children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. They're doing amazing things in the world, just like you, doing this, sharing your life with people on this podcast. It's just absolutely exciting.
Thank you, Grandma. Well, I truly love you, and there are not words to express the impact that you have had on my life and will continue forever to have on my life, and appreciate your example of selfless love and confidence, dedication, and just committed to doing your best, even when it's hard. And I will always remember that example. So thank you for coming on the podcast.
Jessica.
Thank you for who you are.
Thanks so much, Jessica. Thank you so much.
Okay, Grandma. I'll see you soon.
All right.
Until then. Bye.